And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And I thank you for joining me today. I'm going to throw this out there now. If you have any questions, send an email to me at askandy@luinc.com. Again, askandy@luinc.com. And if you missed, or if you caught rather, last week's show, if you missed last week's show, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. You can catch that there. But if you did catch that, you know that we talked about whether now, right now, is a good time to buy. And if you talk to any experienced investors out there, they'll tell you, yes, it's a great time to buy. In fact, if they're solid, they're going to tell you that it's always a good time to buy. Always a good time to buy if you buy right, if you buy the right property. We're going to talk today about single family in particular, and we're going to talk a little bit about the model and what you need to do. What does that mean by right? At Lifestyles Unlimited, we teach you how to buy right. And speaking of how, we talk a lot on this show about the why you should have real estate in your portfolio. And I can think of a number of things. Cash flow, right? We love the cash flow. Equity gains, right? Equity capture, equity buildup, all that fun stuff. Wealth building, in essence. Financial freedom, that's what you attain as you create passive income, build a portfolio of passive income. You buy back your time. Lots of reasons, lots of benefits, lots of reasons why. But today what I want to do is look at some of the hows, because what we're talking about really, it's just a process. How do we buy a house? How do we renovate a house? How do we lease that property? Because this is targeted. This is intended to be a rental house because we want that cash flow. So we're going to talk about the house. Now, this will naturally have to be kind of upper level. We're not going to get super into details. That would take me many, many shows, many, many hours of broadcasting. And the good news is, if you do want to dive in deeper, we have what's called our Financial Freedom Seminar. This is a two-day course taught on, normally on a Saturday and a Sunday, although we do have some evening versions that are online. But basically 8 hours on the first day, getting into the mindset, and then talking all about single family, what we're going to hit today at an upper level, buying, renovating, etc. And day two, we come back and we talk all about investing in apartments. You may not be interested in houses, and that's okay. A lot of people say, I'm going to skip that. I want to go straight to apartment investing. And that's, hey, do that if you can. We talk about both, and we teach you how to do both at Lifestyles Unlimited. But that course gets really into depth. And if you want to learn more about that, again, send me an email. I can get you connected there. But I'm going to talk today at an upper level. We're going to hit a broad swath of the processes that are go into this. And, you know, I'm going to tell you later, there's a crucial step that does come at the very, very beginning. I'm going to save that one for the end, though. I want you to pay attention. I want you to listen. And if you're a type A personality, I'm a type B guy. I overthink things more often than not. But the type A's out there, right? They shoot fire. And then they take aim. Then they think about it, right? You're going to go, go, go. You're going to hit the ground running. You're going to miss that important first step. Others of you may just not think about it. It's not important. But it is. It is key to your success. But we're going to hit that later. And I'm thinking about all this stuff because I've been leaning very heavily. I've got this document here in front of me. In fact, I've been leaning very heavily on a process document that we have at Lifestyles Unlimited. And I've been leaning on that because you may have caught this on last week's show. I mentioned that we got two houses under contract, back to back. Day one, contract, let's say Thursday, Friday, got the next one under contract. So I've been working through these processes quite a bit myself. And just for context, if you're new to the show, I reside in Dallas-Fort Worth in Texas, North Texas. One of those houses, however, is in East Tennessee, probably, 15-hour drive from here? Not sure what the flight would be. The other one's in Georgia. Even farther. And the bulk of my career as a real estate investor, it's been over a dozen years now. I've mostly invested locally in my single family rental houses. We built up a portfolio, my wife and I, that got her financially free, got her retired, got me out of my corporate job. This is what we do full time. And I'll tell you, Texas is it's a great place to invest, and we're shopping here as well. But the nice thing with the national scope that Lifestyles has attained is that allows me to attack a broader territory, and that gives me access to more opportunities. The beautiful thing about when you buy and fix up and lease out and operate a single family rental property is that you figure out, wow, there's not that much to it. Yeah, there are a lot of little moving parts. Those are all process, parts of the process. But once you figure those out, it's very easy to do it again, and do it again after that and do it again after that. And we talk about our cash flow snowball because you put cash flow of anywhere from $200 to $600 per month into play on that first house, start collecting that. By the next one, now it's doubled. Now it's doubled again. You're able to move faster and faster, and you have to be careful. Sometimes you get going a little too fast, and that's where a solid document, a solid process like our single family timeline checklist can really, really help you. And I leaned into this quite a bit here because we did get two houses under contract pretty much back to back, which always gets my mind swimming a little bit. Which title company am I talking to? Who's the seller? What's going on? But even before you get to that point, right, we'll get to the contract phase. But before you get to even the point in time where you're thinking about a contract, you need to take some preliminary steps. And once you've taken these, you don't really have to do these again unless you start to maybe adjust. And what I'm talking about is your strategy when it comes to single family houses. What is your investment strategy? And there's a great just first page of this checklist, three lines here, minimum cash on cash return. And again, this is a rental house, so I'm going to be cash flowing. I want to be cash flow positive, and I'm going to take my cash flow, I'm going to annualize it and divide that by my total cash out of pocket, my total cash invested. That gives me my cash on cash return. What's my minimum dollar amount? Do I have a minimum? You should have a minimum. And what's my minimum percentage return? Right, I may get $200 per month, right, $2,400 per year, and that may be a 100% return because I had very little money invested, or it could be a 2% return because the cash out of pocket was very, very high. So you want to have both the absolute dollar number as well as the percentage. And the same goes for what we call equity capture. All right, let me define that here in a second. You want a minimum dollar amount. What am I looking for? And a percentage return. And let me tell you, what is equity capture? So we want a cash flow, right? We're going to make money that way. We make money five ways on our houses. That's the beauty of these things. Cash flow is one. Equity capture is another, and is a very powerful way. If you're looking to grow wealth, you should be looking at equity capture. I'm looking at a house here, for example. This came from a realtor down near Houston. Estimated cash out of pocket, about $21,000, but the equity capture, $50,000. That's more than doubling. That's tripling my money, close to it, 2.5 times there. So what's my return, right? Does that meet? Do I want to see 100%? Well, this meets that. So if I know what those numbers are, I can very quickly decide. And we achieve equity capture because we're not going out and buying a house that's retail, on the market, full price, here you go. You can do that, and a lot of people do. But if your goal is to achieve wealth and to build wealth, equity capture is your play here. And what you have to find instead are those distressed houses, because you're going to get those at a discount. You may find a house, let's say, that's you can buy for $100,000, and you put in $50,000 worth of work. So now you're $150,000 all in plus some closing costs. If that value is at $200,000, when you're done, you're now sitting on $50,000 in equity. Now, you'll have some cash out of pocket that's a portion of that. It's usually about, with those numbers, about $18,000 or $20,000. That means you've created an additional $30,000. So you've already more than doubled your money right there. In this example from the realtor, $20,000 goes to $50,000 in capture. So we're sitting on $70,000 at the end of the day. So what is your focus? Are you more cash flow focused? Are you more equity capture focused? I know investors that want to see some of both. And finally, what is your maximum out-of-pocket per deal? And this is important because if you have a certain capital base that you're working with and you want to attain, let's say, four houses with that capital base, well, how far can you go? Divide that by four, give yourself some buffer, give yourself some reserves, right, some wiggle room. And that will dictate, well, what is my maximum cash out-of-pocket per deal? We sold a house last year, pulled out $200,000. If I want to buy 10 houses, well, if I do the math, I can go as much as $20,000. Per house. So minimum cash on cash return. Right now, just some context for you if you're new to the show. We see on average across the markets where we operate, where we're buying houses, anywhere from $200 to $600. So that example I gave you, $50,000 equity capture on top of my $20,000 invested, $70,000 in equity total. Lots of numbers here. Bad for radio, I know, but the cash flow on this $200, cash on cash return, 11.7%. So if I said, well, I need to have at least 15%, this doesn't work for me. This is in Houston. Let me jump over. Here's another example here, just to give you some other numbers. This one is in Missouri, up north of Kansas City. Purchase price 70, ARV, a little over 100. This is a smaller, lower-end house, I'd say. Out of pocket, $11,000. So if you don't have as much to work with, that might be a house for you. Equity capture is lower. It's $15,000. Now, that's still doubling your money. Cash flow, $254,000. So if you're more focused on the lower out of pocket, that might be the deal to look at. The investment opportunity, 26% cash on cash return, because it's such a low out of pocket to get into that investment. Cash flow per month, $254. Now, if you're more focused on building cash flow, and that was my focus years ago when I started for my wife and myself, because we needed to get her out of her corporate nightmare, well, maybe you look at another one here. This is Chattanooga, Tennessee. Purchase price higher, north $150,000. Market value when it's fixed up, because we will need to go in and do repairs, closer to 300. So you can see we're in two different asset types there, in essence, from the market value point of view. But here's what I want you to take away. Estimated out of pocket, this is a different market. Houses cost more there. This is one of the markets where we're shopping, close to $37,000 out of pocket. So again, looking at your capital base, what can you do? What do you want to do? You still double your money here. Equity capture, almost $50,000. Great, over 100% return. But here's what I want you to hear. The cash flow per month, $540. So if you're cash flow focused, you may give up a little bit of out of pocket. You may have a lower equity capture, although you don't on this one, in exchange for higher cash flow. Sometimes there are trade-offs there. $540 a month. That's over $6,000 a year. You're giving yourself a massive, massive raise. But you need to understand your strategy. What do I need? What is it that I'm looking for? Cash on cash, dollar amount, percentage return. Equity capture, dollar amount, percentage return. And what's the maximum I'm going to spend? It was that maximum I'm going to spend, by the way, that led me to cancel the investment we were working on in one of those two states. We started going through our due diligence. We'll get to that later as part of the process. And, well, we exceeded our maximum out of pocket. Done. I'm out. So identify your strategy. What are you looking for? And I would add to that, where? Is it Chattanooga, Tennessee? Is it Kansas City, Missouri? Is it here in Texas? Is it all of the above? What kind of property are you looking for in terms of age? What kind of renovations are you comfortable with? These are things you want to think about as you identify that investment strategy. That way you can then convey that to your realtors that you... So identify that strategy. Boy, that's a lot to do just in the first... Before we've even gotten anything under contract, isn't it? Well, guess what? There's a little bit more we're going to do before we get to the contract. And then we're going to take off to the races. We'll be right back.
Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show returns in a moment. Got questions? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com.
The Lifestyles Unlimited team of real estate investing mentors and educators want to meet you. Learn to retire in 5 years or less. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb. Again, if you have any questions, send those over to me at askandy@luinc.com. And we're working on buying a single-family rental house today. And I spent a lot of time before the break talking about strategy. You really want to get that hammered out, because it will save you a lot of time. At some point, you're going to get to the point where I am. I get, I don't know, hundreds of emails a day from wholesalers, from Lifestyles Realty in Houston, in San Antonio, in the Dallas area, Waco Properties, Kansas City, Tennessee, Arizona, you know, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Knox, it's all over the place. Clarksville, north of Nashville, over in South, everywhere. So it's a lot coming in. And I need to be able to very quickly identify, is this one to dig in deeper with or not? So if you know all of those strategy points, your rehab level, your age, your geography, your returns, target returns, that will help you make a quicker decision. And I make a lot of very quick decisions. Trash, trash, trash. But recently we found two. We're like, oh man, back to back, let's do this. Now, before we get to contract on those, we've got our strategy. What do you need to do? Are you going to be, 15 hours away from me from here to East Tennessee, farther to Georgia? Am I driving out there? Am I walking the properties? Am I working on the properties? Absolutely not. If it's a mile from me here in North Texas, am I working on the properties? Absolutely not. We need a team. And I really encourage you, build that team beforehand. Do not wait until you've got the contract. I see people do this all the time. I've been guilty of this with certain parts of my team as well in certain markets. I confess that. It's, man, sometimes those investment opportunities hit your desk. I'm like, bam, I'm not quite ready, but okay, go. If the numbers are there, maybe it's worth it. But team is important. Lenders. We talk all the time about how we buy. We buy with financing. It allows you to go farther. Those numbers I gave earlier in the show, those are not possible if I'm paying all cash. That diminishes my returns. I have a much higher out-of-pocket, If you thought $37K versus $11K sounded high, well, if you're paying all cash, now we're talking a couple hundred thousand dollars to invest. So we absolutely want to use financing. So you need to find those lenders. And we teach you how to find those lenders, how to find those other vendors, whether that's your general contractor, your insurance broker. We have certain members available, in fact, on our vendor marketplace. But you may be going into a market where that's not built out yet. You may be listening in a market where we don't have Lifestyles Realty. You can still do what we talk about in that market, but you do need to build your team. We have a lot of coursework on that. But back to those lenders, that's a strategy in and of itself. Do you just want to start with something that's more or less rent ready? Because I'm a little nervous about rehab. You can do that. You can just go straight conventional. We've bought a few of those houses, new builds, in fact, with just conventional lending. Well, what does that look like? Does that work into your buying strategy? Is that going to work into your returns? If not, probably need to look at hard money. All three of those houses that I talked about a minute ago were buying with hard money because they needed work. I can't do a conventional loan on a house that needs foundation repair, needs a new roof, or simply needs carpet because they pulled up the carpet because it looked bad with stains, stunk, whatever. If I can see the concrete slab underneath, can't get conventional financing. So figure out what is my lending or my financing strategy as well. That works into this. And once you figure that out, talk to those lenders, talk to several. There are a lot out there. And get your lender pre-approval so that you do know what is my financial firepower. We heard there's a house with a market value north of 100K. We heard there's another one north of or around 300K. Those result in different loan amounts and different mortgage amounts. Which can you afford both? And by the way, can you do more than one at once? An important question to have with that lender as well. We got two under contract at the same time. We need to know, can we do this? Can we not? And then if applicable, you know, if you're dealing with, say, a conventional purchase, something that's listed, for example, in the MLS by a selling realtor, you're probably going to need a lender pre-approval letter. In fact, we had to get one of those for one of these two properties just to show that we have, you know, proof of funds. Yeah, we can do this. Our offer is good. The numbers we're giving you, we got that. We have that covered. Not a problem. If you're paying all cash, same thing. Show them a bank. Show a bank statement. But we don't want to do that. Okay. There is a product called delayed financing. If you do pay cash because you got to go fast, there are times when we talk about that when you do want to use that. But on the whole, we're looking to finance out the gate, buy with hard money, do the repairs, refinance out. Who else besides lenders? You know, I mentioned my mentor. I've got a mentor here in the Dallas area that I would talk with. I've got one down by Houston. We have several in Houston. You find your preferred mentor. You may talk to multiple on the national scope. I've got several that I can reach out to as well. Realtors. I've got a realtor in each of the cities that I'm working on. Lifestyles Realtor. I know wholesalers in those markets as well now. We talked about lenders, insurance agent. Does my insurance agent here in Texas, will he go to Tennessee? Yes. Had that conversation. Will he cover me in Georgia? Yes, had that conversation. And because we're buying houses that need work, you absolutely want to find a general contractor, whether it's a mile down the road or halfway across the country. We don't want you out there. We want you to write the checks. That's it. You're working at a day job. You're working 40, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. You don't have time to be doing this on the weekend on top of everything else in the kids' soccer games. Hire that out. You will burn out so fast if you don't. You will never get to the cash flow snowball because house number one will just take you out. So find that general contractor. And thinking a little bit farther down the road to our hold period, once we've bought, fixed up, closed, refinanced, and gotten a resident into place, you need a handyman. Occasionally things do break. Sometimes people are a little hard on them. So you want somebody that you can send out during the hold period to manage those repairs for you. Possibly a property management company. So we're talking again. You'll hear me flipping around here. My timeline checklist. I adhere to this thing. There are check boxes. I like check boxes. I like to go down. Check, done. Check, done. Most of this stuff before the property is under contract. Once you've done it once, you've got it. You've got it covered. Building your team in a new market. Once it's done, it's done. Right? Keep having ongoing conversations with your network. You know, you're going to find other investors in that market. Well, hey, are you still using, you know, Joe for your general contractor work? Yeah, how's that going? Well, you know, he's had some problems. You know, life comes around. So you want to have these conversations and maybe revise that team from time to time. But once you got it built, you're more or less good to go. Now we're still looking. All right, we know what we want to find. We know what the returns are. Now we have to find it. Well, how do you find a property? Well, I mentioned realtors, right? We work with the Lifestyles Realty team. They make it very easy for me. But there are other people out there as well. There are other non-Lifestyles realtors. Have those conversations with them. They may not understand where you're coming from as an investor. They may not be as well versed. You may have to educate them a little bit. But have conversation with conversations with those realtors. Find wholesalers. Wholesalers are people to get houses under contract. One of the two that we were under contract on was a wholesale investment. So they went and they market. They send out postcards. You've probably gotten these calls, these texts. We want to buy your house. Well, eventually you concede, say, you know, I kind of want to sell. They write up a contract with you, but they have no intention of closing. They assign that contract to me. Wholesalers are good for that. You just have to be careful that you know your numbers. Don't rely on theirs. Your realtor, if you're working with one, will help you there as well. But next step is to find that property. Now, you've already determined geographic area. You've already determined your maximum out of pocket. That's going to steer you in the direction. And finally, bam, you have it. Got it. We're going. What do we need to do? Well, we need to figure out, is this one actually the one? The numbers look good on paper at an upper level, but we need to figure out if this really is the one. If you're in town, we always encourage you to walk the property. I think it's a good experience. So if I find one a mile, 2 miles, even 50 miles down the road from me here in North Texas, sure, I'm going to go out and I'm going to take a look. Now, if I can't get there for some reason, I'm going to ask my realtor to do that or my GC. How does that differ if I'm in Dallas and I'm talking about East Tennessee or Georgia? Well, pretty easy. Technology these days makes it very easy. Your realtor, send them out there. Do some FaceTime or WhatsApp or whatever video methodology you can, and have them walk through that house inside thoroughly, outside thoroughly, up and down the street. You want to know what the neighborhood looks like. And go slow. We need to spend a lot of time actually up front. That's important. I think that's the big message today. The rest of this stuff is pretty easy, right? We need to find that property. We're going to use a realtor. We're going to work with wholesalers. We're going to talk to everybody in our network. I have gotten housing leads from my mother-in-law. We bought a house. She knew someone. That works. But they need to know what you're doing. So talk to a lot of people. But eventually, you're going to find that house. And now we need to vet it. We need to do our due diligence. Now, we haven't even made an offer yet, so we need to go look at it. And depending on the source of the property, this may be a very fast process, or you may have some time. It may be listed on the open market, and they're not taking offers for another week. It may be a wholesaler says, we need to know today. In fact, we're having a showing, and 20 investors show up. In fact, one of the two we bought was in that vein. Now, I'm here. This house was on the East Coast. Did I go? No, but my realtor did. And one of my team, one of the GCs that we've targeted, went out there as well. So we got videos, we got pictures. And again, if you're doing this remotely, that's really what you need. Number one, you need to be educated. You need to know what you're looking for in those videos. And that's part of the process as well. But that's going to be part of where you go to get your information. You can do a lot online. I can look at a lot of the history, the deed history. I can do some level of title research, at least here in Texas. I don't know about the other states, surveys, et cetera, Google Maps, lots of places to go. But I want to see, what does this thing look like? And then we're going to start to dive in. I'm going to dive in as much as I can before I get to that contract phase, if I can. And if it's an on-market investment opportunity, maybe I make my offer. I've got some limited information. Here's what I think the rehab is. My GC couldn't quite get out there yet or didn't want to go till I'm under contract. So we're going to make an offer, and you can make that offer contingent on an inspection period. And that's what we did on one of our two contracts. That gave us the time to get everyone in. That general contractor, realtor went back out again. Actually, we had three contractors go by. I want to get three bids. I want, especially in a new-to-me market, I need to know, well, what do things cost here? What's this look like? How do each of these people respond when I communicate with them? Very important. And they're going to go through the house just like our realtor did with their video. They're going to check the fences, the roof. May go under the house, may not. May go up into the attic, may not. Maybe more of a cosmetic view. May tell me if the foundation is good or bad. So to that point, I want to be sure to hire an inspector. And I'll tell you, we had a great inspector. Went into the crawl space, came back out, gave me a call, said this and this and this and this. I said, okay, that tells me what I need to know. So at that point, our rehab on one of the two blew up. So hey, all right, option period, cancel it. Now, it's very, very important. We were under contract at this point. When you write a contract, if you're going to write an option period into that contract, that you understand what that means. And by when you have to pull the trigger if you're going to exercise that option. And as somebody that's been doing this for a dozen years in Texas, I have one framework. But now we're talking about Tennessee or Kansas or Missouri or Georgia. What does that look like here? I know that here in Texas, if I have a 3-day option period that we exercise on a contract today, well, that gives me tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that. If there's no weekends in between, well, weekends do play here. I have to the end of the day, 5 p.m. to terminate that contract. Well, how's that look in other markets? So if you're moving across state lines, you're used to something where you operate now, give that some deep thought. I had to have a lot of conversations with my realtors around these topics. New to me. In fact, on my single family timeline checklist, now I'm under contract, there's some blanks here where I can write. When does the option period end? When do I need to give notification? When do I have to send the survey? All the moving parts that may be dictated by that contract. And here again, every state will be different. Boy, reading a contract from Georgia for the first time, and reading a contract from Tennessee for the first time, having looked at one in Missouri, quite a bit different to somebody that's used to Texas. So that might be worth a conversation with your realtor as well ahead of time as part of your before contract work. Can I see what a normal MLS type contract looks like? If you're working with a wholesaler, we're talking about a whole different can of worms altogether. But you're going to do your due diligence now because you're under contract. GC goes out, bam, bam, bam. Other GC, third GC ideally. You want to give them, by the way, the scope of work. If I don't tell them what I need, I'm going to get a different scope of work from each of them. That's apples and oranges. I can no longer compare that. So based on my realtor video, here's what I can tell you I need done. Dot, 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 dot. If you do see something else, let me know. I can carve that out. But we get those bids. We see if that initial number that I plugged based on that first guesstimate, based on pictures, based on video, still works or not. And if not, pull the trigger if you have that option period. Now, if you're investing or buying, rather, from a wholesaler, typically there's no option period. You're going to put some earnest money down, and that's at risk. So if they're asking you for a 20K earnest money, you say, nah, you know, I can give you five. Right? Five seems to be the standard for the market now. I've seen some lower, I've seen some higher, but that's negotiable. That's negotiable as well. During that option period, by the way, ideally, if you can, get the utilities on. Sometimes you can't, but you should try. If there's an inspector going in and I want him to test the GFCI outlets and there's no electricity, well, there's not much he can do. It's not uncommon to have electric on and maybe water off, maybe gas off. That was the case for us. Termite inspection, very important. That was part of our issue on one of these properties. But you do your due diligence. If it's still good, hey, let your realtor know. We're ready to go. We're good to go. Figure out the rest of your paperwork. Again, we mentioned survey. What do I have to do there? And we're going to wait. It may be a short wait. It may be a long wait. Right? I had a contract that was a month and a half out. Well, we just wait. We bide our time. What can happen in a month and a half? Now, we could have a big storm. We could have tornadoes here in Texas. We saw what happened on the East Coast. So before I go to the closing table, what's very, very important? On the day of closing, or at least late in the day before, go walk that property again. If it's here down the road from me, yeah, I'll go do that myself. If it's in another state, either have that realtor go by or a general contractor. You want to make sure nothing's changed. You want to make sure it's still standing. And if something has changed dramatically, be prepared to pull out. Do not be emotionally attached to this. It's really hard. The closer you get to closing, the more emotions you may start to feel, yeah, especially if this is your first investment. Yeah, we're almost there. We're almost there. But be ready. Remove the emotions. And if the numbers have changed because something has happened, get out. And we're not going to go into the ongoing part of the process because now we're at closing. We're just going to buy a house today. Well, we've closed. Now what happens? Well, we let our GC know, hey, we're closed and funded. By the way, you want to make sure you're funded. Don't start any repairs until the title company has gotten the loans from the lender and dispersed those funds to the seller. Once that's done, hit the road. Get going. Bam. Get the work started. And we would tell you parallel to the renovation period, start the advertising. This is all in this very comprehensive checklist I have here. Start the rehab, start advertising the property. How do you advertise a property that's being taken down to the studs? You may not show it exactly now, but we talk to you. We teach you how to do that, how to market these things. And start the refi process. Some lenders may push back. Well, you just closed. Let's wait till you're closer to the end of your renovations. But you can start the conversation. Start to gather your paperwork. They're going to want to see bank statements. They're going to want to see everything about you if you're going into a Fannie Mae type conventional loan. So start that conversation so that you can get your stuff together and start to think about things like, well, let's not cancel any credit cards. Let's not add any big debt. Right? Let's not see any major changes. Let's not quit our job. I've seen people do this. Experienced investors sometimes, multiple renovations ongoing, and I was just kind of tired of the job. I want to do this full time. Uh-oh, how are you going to refinance into that conventional loan? Now, the good news these days is there are other products out there. Commercial products like DSCR loans that would accommodate you, right? If you have the right asset in place. So there are options, but get those things going all at once. Renovations ongoing, advertising, marketing, getting that thing leased in essence. And I've talked to members on the show that have had houses leased weeks before the product was done because they were able to convey that image, that vision to those prospective renters and get them interested and get them sold. So yeah, you can do that. And these are all things, like I said, we talk about at our Financial Freedom Seminar. And if nothing else today, I think the most important thing for you is to really put some thought into it, into just what is it I need to buy and where. What's my capital base? Do some digging there, figure that out. And if I want to do five houses in the next year, well, how much out of pocket can I spend? What kind of cash flow do I need to see? What kind of equity capture? And by the way, over the long run, that equity capture, that comes back to you so you can buy more. That cash flow comes back to you so you can buy more. So don't get depressed if you look at your capital base and say, I need to do 10 houses to become financially free, but I can't do that with what I'm starting with. Well, you build that. You build that. Now, I told you there's a piece of this puzzle that you're going to want to skip, or you may not think about. Type A's, you're going to say, forget it, I'm just going. And that's the education. All of these moving pieces, we've just hit some of these, you can learn about, and you should learn about. And we teach you how to do that at Lifestyles Unlimited. You can learn more if you go to lifestylesunlimited.com. At a minimum, take our free workshop there. You can sign up on our website. But if you really want to get into the details and really get educated, we do that at our two-day financial freedom seminar. You can email me at askandy@luinc.com. I can get you connected with that program. But really, education. You know, you want to build a foundation before you're hunting for a property, before you're under contract. Build that foundation first so you do know what you're doing. We don't want you making mistakes. We want you to learn from success. And we have a lot of successful investors that teach you, that show you the way, that mentor you at Lifestyles Unlimited. Again, check us out at lifestylesunlimited.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.